Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And we thought we finished the chakra series, so we thought we might start this week having a chat about why sitting cross-legged might not be good for your spine and other body parts. It seems to be a common habit that I know I do it, and I went to an osteopath years ago and with a hip issue, and she said to me, "Do you cross your legs?" And of course I said I did. And she said, "Stop crossing your legs." And I tried to stop. And all these years later, it's still very habitual. It's like, sit down, cross your legs.
So I think women especially are conditioned to do it.
Yes.
It's a social requirement for modesty.
And all the images you see, like this article that I read by a lady called Eve Johnson, it was very good. And there's a few images on there of women in different settings, you know, women on a computer, one just sitting in a chair, one sitting at a cafe, and they've all got their legs crossed in various ways. And her main reason for writing this article was that she says, you know, from going to yoga classes, usually there's things your yoga teacher says to you. Like, I know I'm very aware in my classes that I say, check in with your physical body. What messages has your physical body got for you today? And I've had feedback over the years that where people will say, because we hear you in our ears, we are very much more aware of what our physical body's doing or how we feel emotionally or what's going on with our thought processes. And this person's talking about this statement, usage creates form, which is true of any movement practice or bodily habit. The way usage creates form. So it sounds a little bit abstract, but it's pretty much how you habitually hold your body shapes your body. It's a bit like when you have constant internal chatter, it shapes your biology in another way, but we're going to come back to the physical in this way.
You could think of it like a handrail.
Yeah.
That wears down over time because people are running their hands over it. So the usage of it creates the form of this smooth handrail.
Yeah. So your habits, you know, how you hold your body. I remember quite a few years ago I was a habitual knee locker. And when I stood, I'd lock my knees. I didn't realize I was doing it at the time until I developed some lower back issues, and turned out that this knee locking created a whole chain of events through my postural system that left me with quite a bad back issue, which I had to spend quite a bit of dedicated manual therapy on and new postural habits to correct it.
You know, I have almost the opposite issue with knee locking. Not that it's a problem necessarily posturally, but for when you want to have your knees locked for some purpose, such as, you know, dance routines and stuff, it's really hard to do. I actually have to, like, it takes all my concentration to lock my knees and keep them locked.
Yeah. Do you think you've always had that?
I don't know. I maybe, because I don't remember, like, I remember when I was doing the Drew training that they're like, don't lock your knees. And from then on, I've always been aware of it. But I don't think at the time I was locking my knees. So I don't know that I ever have. And it's always been the feedback in my Latin dancing has been, you know, straight knees, straight knees, straight knees. And I would never get them.
I notice now I can sometimes catch myself still locking my knees if I'm out somewhere and having to stand around, and it's been a bit too long standing around. It's like that old habitual pattern slips back. So getting back to, you know, sitting cross-legged, it's perhaps a challenge or a invitation to put out to you to be aware each time you cross your legs and just notice what's happening. So this article sort of points out that at first glance you see someone with crossed legs and you don't really look closer to see where the imbalances are. But when you look closer, once you've crossed your leg over, then you've got all the weight coming onto the opposite buttock. So if you cross your right leg over your left, you've got all the weight coming onto the left buttock. And then that will create sort of like a curve in your spine, which then throws your shoulders out, so one shoulder is going to be higher than the other. So the right shoulder is probably going to be higher than the left, and then that throws your head out. And so this whole chain reaction happens. And if you're spending hours sitting like that, then that's obviously going to create some sort of deep postural issues down the track, isn't it?
I mean, if you're spending hours sitting in any one fixed position, I would say that will create some deep postural issues down the track. But, it's certainly throwing balance out so significantly, especially if you tend to favour one side over the other. So you often sit with your left over your right and very rarely right over left. I think it would be compounded by that.
And I suppose it's that this is a habit. So it's like any habit that we want to break. First of all, you have to be aware that you're doing it. And then if you can then notice, oh, I've crossed my legs. So what happens if I uncross it? And it is pretty hard to sit with both legs, feet on the floor, if you're not used to it.
Yeah, it is. I can't do it. I mean, I can't sit still for any length of time at all. But sitting up with your legs just sort of flat on the floor, there's something deeply uncomfortable about that.
And I wonder if it's the type of chair you're sitting on or the height of the chair. All those sorts of things, but it's certainly something I just thought this was a really sort of catchy article about all the chain of reaction that happens in this one simple habitual habit pattern that I think so many people have ingrained into their psyches. And I just wanted to highlight what's actually going on when that happens, because we're getting some very tight muscles, which means we're getting weak muscles in other areas. And even right into your, you know, sacroiliac joint. If you're feeling lower back pain and that's getting sort of jammed on one side because you're always sitting with the same leg crossed over the other. Something to think about and something to notice when you do it, where you do it, how long do you do it for? Do you alternate sides? And what, you know, is then there that opportunity to cross the legs over the other way and undo what you just did? Is that how it works, do you think?
I think it would if your timing was accurate. So if you sat for 5 minutes with the left crossed over right and then you switched to right over left for 5 minutes and the times were reliable and consistent, then you would probably find that wouldn't manifest in an imbalance. You might have other, you know, issues related to when you're sitting for any length of time, you are shortening your psoas and, you know, tightening glutes and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. But,
so I think, you know, there's issues with sitting that are correlated probably with sitting cross-legged, and some issues that come from sitting cross-legged may also just have come from sitting. For too long or unsupported or with poor core support.
Yeah.
Or on inappropriate chairs, you know, chairs that don't allow the spine to sit in its natural curves. Most chairs don't.
Most chairs don't. In fact, a lot of chairs actually tilt your pelvis back. It's horrible.
Encourage a C shape neck juts forward and all that stuff. So, and you know, you get an imbalance anywhere in the body that's going to manifest throughout the entire musculoskeletal system. So it might just be that your chin is not positioned correctly, but that's going to have an impact on your hip. As well, you know, it's like nothing happens in isolation.
No.
So, it is interesting. I mean, I find that I try not to sit still for any length of time.
I wonder what.
So I'm sort of, trying to just constantly be moving in some way.
Changing, yeah. What about sitting on a football? What do you think of those?
I like it. I think you have to get the height of the football right. I messed that up sort of last year and bought a football that was too big by accident and just went, oh, well, it's fine. I'll just raise my desk a little bit and sit on it anyway. And that created a lot of glute issues because I was straddling it like a horse.
Yes, okay.
And so then because it was too tall for me, right? So if I just sat on it like I was sitting on a chair with my feet in front of me, I couldn't actually sit on top of the ball because it was too tall, like my legs weren't long enough, so I would fall off or slide forward, and so I had to straddle it to get my legs over the side to balance, and you know, I mean, that's fine for a short period of time, but months of sitting like that created glute issues, and so I sit on one, and the proper size for a football is when you sit on it, your hips and knees should be at right angles, and ankles, so you should have right angles all the way down to the floor.
I've tried one. And because they're mobile, because it keeps your spine very mobile, I end up with a sore lower back.
Yeah, I've never had that.
No. So I can't sit on one for very long at all. It sort of irritates my back. So we're all so different, aren't we? For all,
I think, yeah, you've just got to find what works for you. Like, I tried a treadmill desk. Yeah. And that was a disaster. Ended up with really severe knee pain from walking, from meandering on the treadmill all day. And I wasn't, you know, power walking or anything. It was a very slow kind of just amble. But yeah, something about that, obviously, that, you know, when you're working, you're not, I wasn't paying attention to form in the walk. So,
no, and that's another whole topic, multitasking. Mm, maybe we'll cover that sometime.
Yeah, multitasking is a myth. But anyway, that's probably a good topic for next week. For you. So I think I have a sit stand desk now. I sit on a Fitball some of the time and I stand for some of the time. And when I'm standing, I know that's not great for you either. So I generally try to have some music on, and I'll be sort of mindful that I should be moving around to it a little bit, and you know, interspersing the work with stepping back and stretching and stepping forward again and that sort of thing, which you just wouldn't do if you were sitting.
No.
And then the other thing that I've looked at that I'm sort of curious to try at some point in the future is a transforming chair.
What are they?
It's a chair that changes shape. So obviously you've got to manually do it. You could just set it up as a normal chair and then sit on it for 8 hours and not move, which is not doing you any favours. But you can change their configurations and turn them into like a fainting couch or a stool or a meditation chair or a desk chair with a desk built in or whatever. Yeah. So the idea is that you can keep shifting its configuration throughout the day and therefore be sitting in different positions throughout the day. I saw an author recently posting a picture of her chair, which some kind of complicated looking stool thing with a footrest and a backrest that all swivels around in different ways, and it's a similar concept. And she said this is a terrible chair to sit in for any period of time and a really good piece of furniture to just crawl all over like a cat. and I think, you know, depending on what you're doing, but if you are someone whose work is at your computer and you are there for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week or whatever it is, then yeah, you do want to find ways to make that work for you, physically.
So if we bring this back to, you know, this sort of
cross-legged statement thing, you can still sit cross-legged on a football, turns out.
Yes. So if we bring it back to usage creates form, you know, think about those three words, usage creates form, and what habit patterns are you forming by being more aware and knowing that, you know, this is where it links into yoga so beautifully and sort of like the body work that we can do to rebalance through yoga and simple postures like coming and bringing yourself into Tadasana and noticing the balance, noticing and taking your awareness into the shoulders and the hips and just seeing and feeling what's going on. And then there's one of the nice ways that I feel benefits my posture is the triangle work. So both lateral triangle and rotated triangle, really I always feel quite sort of realigned after those postures. So they're good for reshaping. So you can use your yoga practice to help you, one, become aware of the habit, two, see if you can do less crossing of your legs, and then three, can you use your yoga practice then to really hone in on being more aware of how you're carrying yourself and what feels balanced, and then what postures might help you just rebalance the whole, you know, body complex, reshape.
Yeah, it's a good thing to consider that, you know, different yoga poses and sequences and so on have different effects. So, you know, assuming that you're not, you don't have, no one has time to do every asana in the book every day. So pick the ones that will give you the maximum benefit based on your lifestyle. And
variety is good. You wouldn't want to do the same thing every day.
No. Well, some people like that.
But your body gets used to that. It's sort of like it's good to break things up a little bit. And restorative, don't forget, restorative is a really good, beautiful, passive way of draping yourself in ways that can counter the effect of too much sitting or imbalances in the body as well. Very powerful.
And I think also intention, which comes back again to that, you know, usage creates form. It starts in the mind.
Yes.
And so, you know, have intention. I was listening or watching a demonstration by a physio on some muscle work, and she was using, it was sort of like a massage technique, but basically identifies a trigger point and then puts pressure on it and then asks the client to breathe. And she said the thing with that people often don't realize is that massage isn't in this sense, a remedial massage from her perspective was not a passive thing, and she's not the one doing the work. The person, the client, is the one doing the work. She identifies the point where the tension is, and then the client's job is to breathe into that and relax the muscle, and which is a lot easier to do when you've got someone helping you facilitate it. Yes. But you can absolutely do it by yourself with a therapy ball or a foam roller, or just, using your own hands or fingers for palpation. Like, find those trigger points, identify them, put a little bit of pressure on so that your awareness is brought there. And then it comes back to that idea of, firstly, consciousness is healing, and then secondly, breath is powerful. So so breathe into it and visualize it relaxing, and and you'll find that will probably free a lot up.
There's a lot you can do. So it's like, just first of all, the awareness of what you're doing and what habits maybe you can check in with that maybe aren't serving you, and explore different ways of sitting on different types of things like balls or chairs or stools, and see where you feel more relaxed. Can you change something to bring in more balance?
And sit on your chair in weird ways. If you just have a chair, try sitting on it backwards or sideways, or drape over it, or be a bit wacky with your chair usage.
So there's a challenge.
Yes.
Notice how you're sitting and see if you can explore different ways of sitting, and noticing how often do you cross your legs, and are you a habitual leg crosser? Is it always on the same side or not? It's an interesting thing to bring to your awareness, I hope, and just bring in some curiosity and explore.
Yep. No judgment, just mindfulness.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.